Two for Tuesday, yeah. Two for Tuesday. Olive loaf foot cheese, yeah. So, Jesse requested the Orwell Who Needs You. I don't even know. Should I know what that is? Am I out of touch? I messed that up.
It's the Orwells.
The Orwells. Yeah. I don't know who that is.
I've only heard that song before. I'm not too familiar with them.
Well, apparently they have another song because it's Two for Tuesday. Yeah. Okay. Hey, coming up a little bit later on, would Esmeralda buy that? Esmeralda, as you know, we now have this lovely segment that we do. Because for people that might not know, Esmeralda enjoys little products that are mostly sold via the intranets and on infomercials and stuff. And if Esmeralda had sort of an endless income, she would buy tons and tons and stuff, tons of stuff that's mostly kind of useless. So we're going to test her out. We will give her an item. We will describe it to her. You, by the way, when we do this, you could go to our Facebook page and actually see the items. We'll have pictures of the items. We'll describe them, and then Dan and Vic and myself will vote on whether Esmeralda would actually buy this crazy infomercial item. And then we'll crown a winner. I think we all tied last time. Didn't we all tie last time?
Yeah, because we all agreed that she would buy the dragon candle, and then she nixed us all.
Yeah.
Because it looked cheap.
It looked cheap.
Despite the fact she loves dragons and candles.
Right.
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't want that in my house.
All right. Well, we'll find out, because she's a tricky woman, this Esmeralda. That's one thing I've learned about working with her for a few months.
So tricky.
Yeah. How long now has it been? It's been like, what, September or October? October.
No, maybe end of August?
End of August? Yeah, you're right. It was the end of August. We're approaching a year.
I know.
Isn't that awesome, Esmeralda?
Exciting.
Yeah, I'm sure you're thrilled to be a part of this show. All right. So before we get to that, and we're going to do that in a little bit, we're going to talk about fantastic movies featuring animals and fantastic animals that should have won Oscars. And here's why I bring this up. One, Keanu, one of the funniest movies of the year. And that cat ruled. Well, there were seven of them. They used seven different kittens for that movie. But I mention this because this past weekend, Serena versus Shark is what I like to call it, because that was Blake Lively's Serena. She played Serena on Gossip Girl. So I like to call it Serena versus Shark. But they didn't go with that title. They went with The Shallows. And in it, Blake Lively has this seagull that she spends a lot of time with in the movie. I called him, and it made Eric very angry yesterday morning when I said that he was the Wilson of the movie. Meaning the soccer ball from Castaway, Wilson.
Volleyball, technically.
Volleyball, sorry. Yeah, volleyball. And he got very upset. So Blake Lively has faced off against Manhattan, It Girls, superpowered villains, and a curse of agelessness. But in The Shallows, she found herself eye-to-eye with an even more difficult co-star, a seagull. In the new thriller, which sees Lively's character stranded just offshore after a brutal shark attack, the actress is alone for nearly every scene in the film save for her winged partner. "He was my friend, but he also terrorized me," Lively said of the bird. "I was doing scenes where I'd be screaming and crying, and suddenly I'd feel pecking at my leg. It became like a Hitchcock movie. But then we became buddies, and he would hop on me." I wouldn't mind hopping on Blake Lively. Hold on a minute now. Wait a minute. Hold it. Do we actually have audio of the lovely Blake Lively talking about her co-star, her seagull co-star?
Yeah, I do. One interesting thing about this film is you're in, not only in every scene, you're pretty much the only character. A few people kind of come and go.
There's a seagull.
You see them, there's a seagull. What was it, by the way, what was it like working with the seagull?
Was that it, did it become your little friend? Yeah, he was my friend, and he terrorized me. I was doing scenes where I'd be screaming and crying, and I guess he liked the taste of the blood on my big shark bite prosthetic.
Yeah, sure, that shark
because,
bite.
Because, I have a shark bite on my leg, and I'm screaming, crying, doing other things, and then suddenly I feel this little like pecking at my leg. I'm like, oh, the bird is attacking me. It became a Hitchcock movie. But then we became buddies, and he would hop on me, because we were in 4-foot waves for most of it. We were in a giant wave pool, and they kept the waves on at all times, and it kind of freaked the bird out. So he'd hop on me. So I'm like Captain Morgan sitting out there in the middle of this pool with this like seagull friend. But he was cool. He was my buddy. He was super sassy. I'd be in the middle of a scene, and he'd just start like screaming at me. My God, someone needs attention. But there could be an entire film of just our outtakes of us, you know, talking to each other, which I thought the movie was going to be a comedy by the time we were done shooting it because of this crazy bird.
Oh, it's not a comedy.
No, they cut all that stuff out. And I was like, what happened to all the bird stuff? They were like, this is so a different movie.
Okay. So there you go. I loved the bird. I thought the movie was fun, too. I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was a nice, effective little thriller. But that got me to thinking about animals that should have won Oscars and great movie animals. 312-981-7257. We'll have some fun with this. We got a break for the news, and that's coming up in approximately 9 seconds. Yeah, man. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. You request one artist, two songs, and they'd be playing after the breaks. And that's Jesse, who requested the Orwells, The Righteous One. Okay. All right, so we're talking about this movie, The Shallows, which is out right now in theaters, and I liked it. I thought it was an enjoyable little romp. And in it, Blake Lively plays a girl who survives a shark attack, tries to stay alive on this like little rock as the tide is coming in. And her only companion on this rock is this seagull. And she just described the seagull being, you know, sassy and pecking her and all kinds of stuff. And the seagull is very, they have some lovely moments together in the movie, her and the seagull. So that got me to thinking about animals and in movies. And I mentioned Keanu from earlier this year. And Esmeralda, you saw Keanu.
I did.
Quite a lovely use of seven cats, don't you think?
I wouldn't have known it was seven cats.
Yeah, I was, you know, I saw pretty much every interview, you know, because I kind of like Key and Peele. I think they're okay. And so I kind of watched pretty much every interview that they did on any talk show when they were promoting Keanu, and they talked about, on several occasions, they talked about how there were seven different cats. Like, one cat could do one thing. You know, another cat was better at other things. Like, one cat was very, very quiet, so they could use the cat when the cat needed to be quiet. One cat was really good at meowing.
I wonder if they had, like, a sign above each one. This one can do this, this, and this.
They did have trainers on set. And I want to know who the cat is who was standing on the hood of the car while it was going 50. That's the...
the bravest one of them all.
The bravest Keanu of all. The bravest Keanu of all. Speaking of Keanu, Esmeralda, you got to let me know when you see the Neon Demon.
I really want to go see it.
Because it features such a lovely piece of work from Keanu Reeves. Just ridiculously sleazy in it. So Keanu's a good one. Not nice cat. Now, have you ever thought, Dan, what about you? Any animals that stand out in movies?
Homeward Bound came out when my brothers and I were of the right age, so we actually named our dog Shadow in honor of Homeward Bound.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, Homeward Bound, there were...
Is that the one with the two dogs
and a
cat?
Correct.
Yeah.
The old dog and the young dog.
Right. I believe Sally Field was the voice of the cat.
Was Michael J. Fox the young one?
You know, that's a remake. Because when I was a kid, I think it was called The Incredible Journey when I was a kid. And it was like, I think that one came out like in the 60s or something.
Right. The subtitle of Homeward Bound is Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey.
So the one that came out in 93.
Correct.
Is indeed a remake. But you named, now which dog was, what was your name, Shadow?
Our first dog, Shadow.
Now which dog was that in the movie?
He was the older, wise one.
The older, wise dog.
Yes. Chance was the young dog, Shadow was the aging, wise dog, and Sassy was the snobby cat.
And the Sally Field provided the voice of Sassy.
Right. Michael J. Fox was the...
Chance.
And then Don Adler? Does that make sense?
Don Adler? Maybe they hired an actual voice artist instead of a celebrity to do the voice.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw the remake of Homeward Bound or The Incredible Journey, but I did see the one from the 60s when I was a kid.
I'm sorry, Don Ameche was...
Oh, Don Ameche. Oh, now there
Adler
you...
did star in it, but Don Ameche was Shadow.
Yeah, Don Ameche, sure. From Cocoon. That's because that's how Don Ameche said Cocoon. He would say Cocoon. I remember he won the Oscar for Cocoon, and... when he made his acceptance speech, you know, I was at an Oscar party with a bunch of my friends, and he comes up, and everybody had Don Ameche in the pool, so we were like, oh, good, okay, so my Oscar pool is still alive, because we knew they were going to give it to Don Ameche. And then he came up and he said, I'd like to thank everyone associated with the production of Cocoon. And I was like, Cocoon? Who the hell says Cocoon? Apparently Mr. Bickerson does. You guys don't remember the Bickersons. Yeah.
No.
No. Well, you know what? If you, you're here on Sunday nights, Esmeralda. I have no doubt in my mind that at some point Carl Amari is going to play the Bickersons.
Oh, then.
It was a radio show. Don Ameche was Mr. Bickerson, and I can't remember who played his wife. Dan, can you look that up, who played the Bickersons? Of course, we can just call Carl. I'm sure he's awake. But I loved the Bickersons. They used to play it on BBM when they had
Francis Langford.
Francis Langford, that's right. And they were hilarious. They were hilarious, the Bickersons.
Did they bicker?
That's all they did. That's why they were called the Bickersons. When it was constant screaming, Don Ameche screamed every line as Mr. Bickerson. It was awesome.
One of the funniest moments in our old graveyard tours was you dropped the Bickersons reference on me as we were cleaning out the fridge, and there was just like crickets.
Right. I made a Bickersons reference because I forgot that Dan's not 60. So, and I'm even a little too young for the Bickersons. You know, I'm 50. I'll be 51 next week, and that's even on the cusp of being too young for the Bickersons. That's like in your 70s, you remember listening to the Bickersons. Because there was a revival of old-time radio in the 70s, in the 1970s. And then I listened to a lot of it, and that's why I know the Bickersons. The Bickersons was my favorite. Because it was just two people screaming at each other, and I thought it was hilarious. Because my favorite show when I was a kid was The Honeymooners. So all I liked was people screaming, you know, married couples yelling at each other. So Don Ameche, Cocoon, star of Cocoon. I remember interviewing John Carpenter and asking him, because it was the first time I interviewed John Carpenter was in 2012, and it was he came to town for the Flashback convention, and it was the 30th anniversary of The Thing. The Thing came out in 82, so it was the 30th anniversary of The Thing, and I was asking about the making of The Thing, and so... have you guys seen The Thing? Esmeralda, have you seen it?
I haven't.
Dan?
Yes.
Okay, you remember the dog in The Thing?
Yeah.
The husky? Okay, John Carpenter said, he goes, let me explain something to you, and I can't remember the dog's name. He told me the dog's name, and I used to know the dog's name. He didn't have a name in the movie, but like in real life, the dog had a name. And John Carpenter said, best actor I've ever worked with. He said, it goes Jeff Bridges and then this dog. Those are the best. So, yeah, and the dog's amazing in the movie. I mean, if you watch The Thing, it is really seriously one of the greatest animal performances of all time. The dog's awesome in it. Now, here's the animals according to The Hollywood Reporter. And by the way, if you want to join us, your favorite animals in movies, your favorite animal performances. There's a great seagull performance in The Shallows right now. And some fantastic cat work and kitten work in Keanu. So that got us thinking about this. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. All right, number one on this list on the Hollywood, according to The Hollywood Reporter, is Toto from The Wizard of Oz. They think that Toto should have won an Academy Award. Toto was played to perfection by a Cairn Terrier named Terry. Well, they named him Terry because it was a terrier. And the little dog who he was the little dog who could. Who else could survive a tornado swirl, make the adjustment from Kansas to Oz, and who could dance in step with Judy Garland? Yeah. How about Spike from Old Yeller? Old Yeller was brought to life by a blackmouth cur named Spike. Comes on screen as an unwanted stray. He defies his initial rejection and saves the spunky boy from all manner of hostile wild beasts and is then rewarded with a summary dispatch at the end of the third act. Any living being that runs such an inspirational gauntlet deserves a Lifetime Achievement Award. Old Yeller, man. That's one of those movies that, man, everybody just cries their eyes out at the end because they got to kill Old Yeller. You know, a lot of these Disney and family movies are very traumatizing. Old Yeller's a traumatizing movie. Esmeralda, have you seen Old Yeller?
No, and I don't want to.
They killed the dog.
I know. I know that it's going to happen. I'm going to cry regardless.
Yeah.
So I don't want to see it.
Old Yeller's a tough movie, man. It really is. 1957, they're killing dogs in this movie. Well, one.
How do they show it? Like, do they just say, oh.
No, you hear the gun. No, the gun goes off.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. No, I would be a mess.
Yeah, no, it's a real pleasure. Yeah. There's a great reference to it in Stripes. When Bill Murray is trying to get the troops, motivated, he goes, all right, how many people cried at the end of Old Yeller? Come on. Oh, you didn't cry at the end of Old Yeller. And then finally, reluctantly, all the guys, like John Candy's the last one to raise his hand. Stripes rules. By the way, Stripes celebrated its 35th anniversary. Jeez. 1981 was a good summer. Because we just had Raiders, and that was 35 years old. We celebrated that. Over the weekend, Escape from New York celebrated its 35th anniversary. 2 days ago, Stripes celebrated its 35th anniversary. But the summer of 1981 was pretty damn good. Blowout came out in the summer of 1981. You know, the summer of 1981 might be the greatest summer in the history of film. I mean, come on. Blowout, Escape from New York, Stripes, Raiders, all in the theater at the same time? And right now we've got Independence Day Resurgence? We've got, the hell else is out? There's a bunch of crap.
And a movie with a lady and a shark.
There's a Serena versus Shark, which is out. I enjoyed the Neon Demon, but everybody else, because I'm insane. All right, more animal stuff here. We'll get to that. 312-981-7200. Also, another round of Would Esmeralda Buy That? Yeah, man. All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and it is 2 for Tuesday. Yeah! And 773 area code has requested some Smokey Robinson. That was going to a go-go, so we're going to get to hear a second Smokey Robinson song. That's always a good thing. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. Thank you, Dan.
You're welcome.
You can call us at 312-981-7200. And we're talking about animals in movies, great animal performances, because there's some lovely cat work in Keanu and some lovely seagull work in The Shallows right now. So that got us thinking about some great animal work. Let's see. Beasley from Turner and Hooch. It could be argued it could be argued that we're already going into dead dog territory again, right? Esmeralda, did you see Turner and Hooch?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Oh, no, you
Every
did?
Time.
Oh, my
time
God.
That movie.
Dan, did you see Turner and Hooch?
I'm right there with her. I mean, that was right when we were old enough to know what was going on. Oh, waterworks.
Wow.
Tom Cruise did a very good, he's very convincing crying.
Hanks.
Or what'd I say?
Cruise.
Oh.
Tom Cruise probably cried, though.
He did.
He probably,
I'm sure.
Yeah, and he watched it.
Yeah.
No, Tom Hanks was good.
It could be argued that two-time Oscar winner Tom Hanks learned compassion from the slurping tongue of Beasley, who was rewarded, spoiler alert, by being killed off in the film's climactic scene. I've told this story on the air before. I'll do it very brief. I'll do a brief version of it. the weekend that movie came out, Kathy O'Malley was sitting in for Roy Leonard, and on Saturday mornings, Roy and I would review the movies. Every Saturday morning at 9:30, we would review the movies. And so she was filling in for Roy, and I came down to the studio, as I often did. Came into the studio, and we started talking. We were reviewing the movies, and Kathy gave away the fact that the dog got killed. And I just remember the phone lights went blah, 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 like you couldn't. People were so pissed, and I couldn't stop Kathy. Like, and I didn't know she was going to say that. I didn't know she was going to go, yeah. And then at the end, they killed the dog, and I went, Kathy, you know, like after right after she said, I'm like, you can't do that. I don't
hit the dump button.
Oh, oh my God! I wasn't near the dump button. We had an engineer because we were down in A Combo, and we had an engineer. If I remember correctly, I think Andy Perez was the producer at the time, and poor Andy had to take 8,000 calls of people so furious that Kathy said, yeah, the dog gets killed at the end. I was like, no! We get back, and Roy's like, hey, what did you guys do on Saturday morning? I go away for one day. It was hilarious. Man, oh, man. All right. Here's Glenn on WGN. Hey, Glenn.
Morning. How you doing?
All right.
I know one dog that deserved to get killed, and that was Cujo.
Cujo rules.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, Glenn? It's not his fault. Cujo's actually a victim. He gets bitten by a rabies-infested bat at the beginning of the movie.
Well, true.
Yeah. So,
true. I mean, yeah. It turned into a zombie. But
I felt bad for the damn dog.
Well, yeah, but I was thinking too. What about the horse and animal house?
Oh yeah,
shoot the blank to the big guys of a heart attack.
That's such a hilarious scene. That's actually one of the funniest animal related scenes ever. Is that scene? That's a great one, Glenn. Thanks for the call, man. Take care.
Thank you.
You guys seen Animal House, right? You've seen Animal House? When Esmeralda, you've seen Animal House?
Yeah.
Okay. So when they think it would be funny to take Niedermeyer's horse and bring him into the Dean Wormer's office, and then they give Flounder the gun with the blanks in it to shoot the horse. Then they do shoot. He shoots it. It's blanks, but the horse has a heart attack. And then there's that scene where the horse is there. It's the mayor is in the office with Dean Wormer, and there's a guy in the office, and you could see the four legs of the horse sticking straight up because the horse is dead on his back, and you see the four legs, and then the guy's measuring the door with a tape measure, and then measuring the horse's legs, and he has to get a power saw to cut the legs off the horse. That movie is so damn funny. That is a great one. Oh, man. G says, I really enjoyed the book, A Street Cat Named Bob. What? Which is about a guy who played music on the street, was a recovering drug addict, and he met a stray cat, and it's going to be a movie. Oh. Oh, that's from Keanu, too. That's not the cat doing that, though. What if Keanu went, oh?
Oh, my gosh. I'm seeing pictures of this cat. I'm assuming it's because it's a true story or whatever.
A street cat named Bob.
Yeah, but the cat's wearing a scarf.
Uh-oh.
Like the man has put a scarf on the cat. He's just hanging out on his shoulder.
That's pretty cool. Oh, here's a good one. 630 area code. Ooh, this is a good one. I can't believe I didn't mention this. 2016 turned out to be a good year for animals. How about I have to go with Black Phillip from The Witch? Oh, yeah, baby. Yeah, Black Phillip rules. Oh, man, wouldst thou like to live deliciously?
What's Black Phillip?
He's a goat. He's the devil in The Witch.
Oh, all right.
Would thou'st like to live deliciously? That's what he says at one point.
Oh, so the goat talks.
Well, you don't even want to mess with Black Phillip. He's the king.
Wait, how big is this goat?
He's a big goat. Big crazy goat with horns running around. He does a little dance in the movie. He's Black Phillip, man. You don't mess with Black Phillip.
They have to CGI a goat?
No, it's a real goat. It's Black Phillip, the devil.
I just think it's kind of weird. The devil's like, yeah, no, let's this goat.
He's a goat.
I'm going to be in this goat
well,
now.
Well, he infiltrates the family through the goat because they're farmers.
But really, a goat?
It's a real goat. It's
it
goat.
It seems like there could be so many choices. You're Satan.
But wait a minute. You're not familiar
animals.
With the fact that goats are associated with Satan?
Right, but it just seems like a silly kind of like, really? You're going to be a goat?
Let me explain something to you. In the movie, it's anything but silly.
You eat tin cans?
You got to trust me on this. It's as far removed. That movie is as far removed from silly as you can possibly get.
I'm Satan. I'm going to eat your shirt.
That's right. Would thou like to live deliciously? It's one of my favorite lines ever. One of the best movies of the year. One of the best horror movies in like 10 years. Black Phillip is the king. I ordered a Black Phillip t-shirt that I'm going to wear at the Flashback Horror Convention.
And it says, does it say that?
It says, would thou like to live deliciously? And it's got a picture of Black Phillip's face. He's the king. Thank you, 630 area code. How could I forget about Black Phillip? He's the man. Um, 630 area code. How about Paulie from the movie Paulie? He was a parrot.
I watched maybe the last half of that movie and I started crying.
No, why?
I don't know. I don't know what Paulie was doing that got me to bawl.
I think the lesson here is you should not watch any movies with animals in them.
I think it was because they weren't sure if they remembered him in the end, or didn't someone die?
I can't tell you because I don't remember.
I think someone had died, and then like Paulie goes and finds someone, like a friend of his, and they're like, oh, Paulie.
I don't remember. 773 area code. I forgot the name of the movie, but Clint Eastwood's in it, and he's got an orangutan, and the orangutan was hilarious. There were two movies. It was Any Which Way But Loose and Every Which Way You Can. Or Every Which Way But Loose and Any Which Way You Can, and that's Clyde, the orangutan. Clyde rules. He could give the finger and knock out motorcycle gangs with his fist. He'd say, right turn, Clyde, and he'd put his arm out and knock out motorcycle members. Clyde, man. Clyde rules. But he does not want to live deliciously. All right, we have to take a break. We'll come back and wrap up the animal stuff here with your favorite animals and movies, 312-981-7200. And then we'll do a round of, would Esmeralda buy that? That's all coming up right here on WGN. News is next. Yeah. Smokey Robinson, Mickey's monkey. That's our second of the Two for Tuesday requests from the 773 area code. Two for Tuesday continues. Yeah. So we're talking about, we're going to get to Esmeralda. Would Esmeralda buy that? Would Esmeralda buy that? Yeah. And and you can actually, we're getting people who are listeners who are actually joining in on would Esmeralda buy that. This is where we explain that Esmeralda has a weakness for, as seen on TV, weird gadgets and infomercial products that she likes to buy. So we describe, you know, these products, tell you what they are. And then we vote, Vic and Dan and myself vote on whether we think Esmeralda would actually buy them or not. And if you would like to join in, you could find these things online and send them to us if you want. We have some listener contributions to this, in fact. So, and if you want to see the items, we're going to do it in a couple of minutes. If you want to see the items that we will be voting on, you can see them on our Facebook page if you would like to take a look at these products to give you a better grasp on the situation. Go to facebook.com/Nick D Show. So that's coming up. Anyway, we were talking about animals and animal performances and stuff because of the seagull in The Shallows, which is getting some good press. And we were talking about great animal performances. And Esmeralda, I sent you a couple of images of my friend Black Phillip. Did you see?
I saw them, and then as I was looking at them, the music was playing. So it looked like he was dancing.
Oh, it looked like he was dancing to Smokey?
Yes.
Well, he likes to live deliciously. So, but that's Black Phillip. He's the man. Did you see him jumping around? And
he was getting down.
He's Black Phillip, man. He likes to live deliciously. God, that movie is so good. You still haven't seen that, have you? You haven't seen it?
Well,
then,
you said it was scary.
It's very scary.
So I'm gonna. It's not for me.
Okay.
If you think it's scary,
it's one of the freakiest movies I've seen.
See, I can't. Yeah.
I got to tell you something, Esmeralda. You might freak out hard during the neon demon. Because the last half hour of that movie gets out there. Seriously?
I mean, weird is fine.
No, well, it's more than that. I gotta tell you.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. All right. So, let's see. The last one we were talking about was Paulie. Carrie says the fake shark from Jaws, his name was Bruce. They named him Bruce. Best performance because Mythbusters proved that you can't blow anything up by shooting in an oxygen cylinder. The horse and secretariat was the best. Oh, no. Oh, the ability to interact with actors was pretty darn good. I would take the secretariat from Craig's show. From Craig Ferguson's show. That's the greatest horse of all time, secretariat. That thing made me laugh every single time. Just two idiots in a horse costume. And I would laugh every time. All right. The German Shepherd in Jim Belushi's Canine. That's Gale. Doesn't that dog die too? No, because they had Canine 2 Electric Boogaloo, so I don't think he died, unless he got a different dog. Well, it's Jim Belushi. Esmeralda, you should know all about that, right? You're the biggest Jim Belushi fan in the world.
Seems like a knockoff of Turner and Hooch.
It came out the same year.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
I like my Turner and Hooch.
Right, even though Hooch buys the farm?
But he does it with dignity.
Okay. 872 area code, man's best friend. Yeah, that was the one with Lance Hendrickson and Ally Sheedy about the robot dog that goes nuts and starts killing people. That's fantastic. Here's the memory I have with man's best friend. I was taking a girl I met on one of our first dates, and we were going to the Norwich Theater. This is when I lived in the Honeybee Complex. And we were flying down Montrose. I was flying down. I was driving my fantastic Ford Escort. That's why I ended up picking up the chick, because I had that, you know, I had an 86 Ford Escort. You want to pick up chicks, drive a gray 86 Ford Escort. Studliest car you could own. So I'm flying down Montrose doing like 50, and I know I'm, you know, blowing through there. And you don't want to speed in Norwich, because in Norwich, they have an investigation of a broken-in, you know, garage every 15 years. So I'm flying down there. And so I get pulled over by a cop. They pull me over. And I'm on my way to see man's best friend. I'm breaking the law so I can go see man's best friend about a robot dog killing people with Ally Sheedy. So I'm flying down there. They pull me over. And then I end up getting arrested because there was a warrant out for my arrest. And it was like my first, like one of my first dates with this girl. She's like, oh, this is fantastic. He's taking me to see a robot dog movie. And now he's getting arrested. So I got arrested. Was thrown in the clink. Had to call up my roommate, Scott Oaken, who was too busy busting chairs at the Honeybee Complex to go get some money out of the bank to pay my bail. So that's what I associate. That's my memory. So thanks for bringing that one up, 872 area code. I appreciate that. Thank you. For those people who don't know what I got arrested for, was because my license was suspended because of unpaid parking tickets. Why are you laughing, Dan?
Finish your story.
Okay, because of unpaid tickets. And I went in to pay them when Mayor Daley was like, half off! We'll do the half off! You come and pay your tickets! Half off! So I went in, you know, when Mayor Daley was doing the half off thing, but some idiot forgot to knock off one of the tickets. So it was still on my record. So it was one unpaid ticket. My driver's license was suspended, and that's why they arrested me. And I missed man's best friend because of it. Made a really good impression on this girl. I met her 3 days earlier. Fantastic impression by taking her to see a robot dog movie and being arrested on the way there in a Ford Escort. The lights didn't work on my Escort. They did work, but you know the knob that you would pull out of the dashboard to turn the lights on and then push in to turn the lights off? Well, that thing was broken. So in order for me to turn the lights off of the car, I'd have to reach under the dashboard, hold the base, and push the button in. Otherwise, it would lean out and the lights wouldn't go off. So when the cops were locking up my car, they cuffed me. They threw me in the back of the cop car. The cops are getting the keys out of the car because she couldn't drive because she was from Michigan. She had Michigan license or something. She didn't have a license, whatever. She didn't drive. So they're going to leave my car there. So the cops, and I'm trying to tell the cops, I'm like, you're not going to be able to turn the lights off. I got to turn the lights off. And they're like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, it's busted. I got to stick. It's a whole procedure. So they let me out of the car. They let me out of the cop car, and they uncuff me. So I get on my back, and I reach under the dashboard. The cop pulls his gun on me because he thinks I'm going for a gun. And they, at this point, they don't know why I'm being arrested. There's a warrant for my arrest. I didn't find out what it was for until I got into the clink. They threw me into the luxurious Norwich jail. So I reach under the dashboard. The cop reaches for his gun. I go, whoa, hold it. I swear to God, I'm just turning off the lights. I don't have a gun. I swear to you, I don't. So I turned the lights off, and I came out with my hands up. And they cuffed me. The cop, like, unclipped his thing and went for his gun. I'm like, no! And this happened right across. This was on Montrose, near Harlem. On Montrose. And it was right. It happened right across the street from a grade school, like an elementary school. And the kids were outside laughing at my ass. Like pointing. There's like 30 kids in front of the school pointing. Look at this idiot. I'm getting arrested. They're throwing me up against the car. They're cuffing me. They're pulling guns on me while I'm trying to turn off the lights for my stupid ass Escort. And then the cops are like, these kids are laughing at you. I mean, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm just trying to go see a robot dog movie with Ally Sheedy, if you don't mind. My girlfriend at the time, she's like her third date. She's like, what the hell am I doing with this guy? So, thanks for bringing up man's best friend. That's the ultimate. That's okay. What were you laughing about, Dan?
Shot from Wisconsin asked if the pommel horse from Gymkhana counted.
That wasn't Brian? How did Brian not get in on this?
Maybe Brian knows Rod comes to put it in as Sean.
All right. Anyway, so I did eventually see man's best friend, and it was not worth going to jail for having a gun pulled on me and a group of 7-year-olds laughing their asses off at me while I'm being arrested. God, whoever that person was who made that error at the DMV, I'd like to kill them. But that day cost me like $500 because I had to go downtown to get my license unsuspended. I had to pay for the ticket, which now had all kinds of charges on it. I can't even remember how much it cost me to get my license renewed or unsuspended. I had to get bail money. I had to pay Oaken back. Luckily, I didn't get my car towed.
Listeners want to know if she went out with you again.
We went out for 8 months. So, one of the few times I broke up with somebody. Here's the other detail, Dan. That was the girl who looked exactly like Terry Hatcher. There you go. So,
when you broke up with her, did she bring up the fact that you got arrested?
No, she didn't. No.
She's like, forget you.
Yeah, you were arrested by trying to take me to see an Ally Sheedy robot dog movie.
Criminal.
You're a criminal, and you were being laughed at by toddlers from Norwich. Nothing worse than Norwich toddlers laughing at your ass. There's nothing worse than that. Oh, man. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break here. How did this happen? It's because this dude brought up the man's best friend. You know, I told that story to Lance Hendrickson a couple of years ago when he was at Flashback Convention. I thought he was going to cough to death. We were standing outside. He was having a smoke, and I was standing outside with I'm hanging out with Lance Hendrickson, by the way, which is this is the coolest thing in the world. So I'm hanging with Lance Hendrickson. He's having a cigarette. We're standing out in front of the hotel, and I told him that whole story about me getting arrested trying to see man's best friend. He starts laughing, starts coughing. You know, I almost killed Lance Hendrickson. Had nothing to do with the cigarette he was smoking. So, all right. What the hell's going on? We have to break here for weather and traffic.